check. Mic check. Mic check. Why is that important to be able to do that? This camera. This mic chain. Resources Committee and House Special Committee on Fisheries to order. Please let the record reflect the time is 6:36 p.m. on Thursday, April 28th, 2022. Representative Pepetaktu of the House Resources Committee, would you like to call the role of the Resources Committee?
Absolutely. Madam Chair, Member of the Special Resources Committee, and Senator, all representatives of the country have been helped to have no good authority or opposition to time this, so we have a quorum as far as the Resources Committee is concerned.
Thank you, Chair. And from the House Fisheries Committee, we have Representative Hannon, Representative Story. Oh, pardon me. Representative Story, Speaker Stutes, myself, Representative Cole, Representative Ortiz. I believe that we have Representative Chris Jenkins joining us by phone for the beginning of the meeting. He's on the phone. John will be joining us in person at some point. And Representative Ortiz, if I didn't already say that, sorry. Okay, I'm looking at the time here. Representative McCabe, as well, Representative Nance. I think I've got everyone now. No. Okay, that is everyone. And Representative Fox is just standing up. Welcome, Representative Fox. We do have a call to conduct business. We ask folks to please silence your cell phones as we get started. Thank you so much to our recording secretary, Shannon McCabe, and our LIO moderator, Emily Klein. The purpose of our meeting today is to review the governor's appointments to the Commercial Fisheries Equity Commission and the Board of Fisheries. We have one appointee to the Commercial Fisheries Equity Commission, so we're going to take that up first and do the public testimony, and then we'll go to the Board of Fisheries appointees. We'll hear from them, do plenty of questions, and then we'll take public testimony on all three of those at the same time, so that way we can just sort of separate the questions on those. Like all the confirmation hearings, we will finish by forwarding appointee names to the full legislature for a vote later in the session. So with that, oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Welcome, Representative Hopkins, this time, that's Vice Chair Hopkins. So for the Commercial Fisheries Equity Commission, we have one appointee, Glenn Hay. Mr. Hay, would you please come forward and put your name on the record? And if you want to just share with us why you're interested in the position, a little bit of background, whatever you want us to know about you, and then we'll take any questions. Thank you and welcome. In 2001, I started the Department of Commerce and Fisheries Development Office. I was there until 2007 when I went and worked with the University of Sydney at the International Program as a Fisheries Business Specialist. In 2009, I went back to Congress as the Development Manager and just a supervised model position in the Agricultural Specialist and Tourism and Minerals, as well as Development Forestry. And in 2003, I started working with the Alaska Department of Fishing Industry, the Fisheries Director of Alaska.
think it's something I probably have so much exposure to data miners and stuff that's a lot of exposure to probably all of the house storage industries. A lot of exposure and access to this room.
Yeah.
writers in the field on it heard a lot of the culture, and they do a great job in trying to make sure that the Nautilus drop sits strong and is quick. I think that the general pressure is trying to make some of the things that I need to be done by all of the facts that would have been a good driver. And I have a nice brain, it would be leading to helping the entire organization just in doing a survey. My understanding is that it's a little shaky right now. So I think coming in and helping provide some guidance and giving it some vision will be critical. And that's not going to take 4 years to do. That's my first general product goal. To be successful, I think it needs to find a business path. I'm not really sure what that is. I don't think there are any general revenue features in the issue. But I haven't had it since 2000, so I would imagine there's more than 5 years or a decade. So I'm not sure if that's going to answer your question, but I will be searching for one of the three. That's for anyone, any person in the state. So I think there's some procedures that have been submitted petitions for the industry for anything like that. But that's not true of the component of the federal health and health state. That's going to take years to do. So to see how we get those, I mean, it would be great if it was well supported by a large portion of people in the state. But you know, if I was interested in I would reach out and there would be a lot of outreach to talk to people in the state. Area, see really what's happening. There's some fisheries that there are pads that aren't being fished. Is there a compliance reason to do it through your stream to see if you need to remove some of those permits? I think it depends. A lot of things that there could be market conditions, it could be resource abundance, there's a lot of things going to that. So, what are we interested in the transportation rate industry for the age?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, what you say?
I think it's just something that's what it comes down to. I'm not doing some policies to get people some guidance about, and you can submit a petition. You don't have to order a study, but here's what we're going to look at, and how long do I, if we find certain thresholds are done, do we continue? And you can set up that kind of money. You can run a fantasy, some flexibility, but there's a lot in the process. But at the same time, let alone when it's done, we're not going to continue, or we are going to continue.
Thank you for being here, and Mr. Reid. I think, as you mentioned, there's some guidance that's needed with the CDC. But I'm going to ask a question more specific to my district, and that's the Coconut City. And from work that we heard, there was a very weak participation, even if it is more solutions of how to maximize participation to really utilize.
So I think that there's got to be a lot more outreach. And there are also some individuals that want that. They're pushing for that. And so I think they have been forward-facing to help. I'm on the forum to explain what's going on. As you can see, it's actually not a big terribly familiar that we have done in 2 or 3 years now. But that needs to continue. And that's what I would say right away. It's our best chance to meet them. Thank you.
Different line of questioning. Some of the responsibilities are kind of putting with the insurance and the family members, things like that. And because there has been a lot of conversation about strengthen the relationship with fishermen and the agency to be able to, so they can have confidence in the various roles.
Thank you. Rich, that's a fair question. Working as a fishery specialist in August 2001, it brought even more so to their magic around the fishers were out there. They were at forums, they were participating, and they were doing really real work on both and explaining the program and being with the Canadian fishery. They were both of them. I think that's one of the most important things that can be done.
Any other questions? Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair. I would from the chair. Something that's important to my district is just what you have on already is trying to get something open to lowering the age of more people who are participating. I just wonder if you had any more comments to add on that.
There's kind of a model of farming where you have a transition plan where the farmer is the owner and the cost plan and his way for the revenue to make for it. And so they work with their successor and they have a time to sell what they have to work to. They work over 5 years. There's a state plan that goes with that compensation for their retirement and the next thing is going to go something like that. So there's still ideas that can help if we have an idea.
Thank you. I just, you know, it's a priority. It sounds like it is a priority for you, so thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Bate? Representative Hannon.
Thank you. I like that answer to the question, and I'll fully disclose my bias in favor of Mr. Bate. I also want to show him the goal. Everything he is a committed. He says he's coming to parent conferences. He's not just coming to parent conferences, he's looking at the data. And when he volunteers to help with the project, all this level of detail is gone into him. It's not a volunteer. He needs to have say everything plates for that one. He has a very analytical mind, and I think his service, especially if it's been high profile the last nearly a decade working with the Board of Fish, has put him in a position where he knows how to handle something that could go wrong in a million ways and keep it moving forward. And I think that is a really important skill to bring to this position. And I think it will be great, a big advocate of state to have me in that position.
Thank you, Representative Hannon. I just have one question. As I understand it, there might be some additional transitioning happening at CIBC, which may put you more in leadership role than might have otherwise been. I just wonder if you can sort of comment a little bit on that in terms of, I'm not sure that you will have the mayor commissioner to as well help mentor you along as you get started and any comment on that. Sort of feeling prepared for that.
Representative Christ Hopkins,
do you
Thank you. Mr. Wright, did I get to say you correctly? I apologize.
Mr. White's behavior comments. Any questions? I'm here not seeing it. We're just passing because I'm looking around the room here to see from committee members. Representative Manning has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, Mr. White discussed the first panel because Wright, whose background professionally is sort of outside the industry. Have you described for me your knowledge of the Board of Fish processes, whether you ever served on an advisory council or attended any meetings or on the Board of Fish or the whole dynamic of that?
Additionally, since you're not particularly much familiar with Board of Fish, let me just say it takes a lot of time and a lot of days, and so especially since you're coming from a private sector job, I believe you're sort of in the authority, not yourself, the ability to be in there for that job, but you have the capacity to be away from your job for a week at a time, three or four times a year, which is what the Board of Fish frequently entails. Next we have, I can't believe we have a question for Representative McKeon. Thank you.
Thanks, David. I'm more of a comment than a question, but I have done a lot of fish on the pre-bars, just so you know, a lot of fish.
Thank you, Representative McKeon. Apologies, I was getting distracted by the pen. I don't know what we have here. So, pardon me. Speaker States. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I like that question. We could just have a comment rather than a question. And it was very refreshing to hear you mention the reliance on science. I don't think I've heard very many individuals mention that, and that is so critical to our position on the Board of Fish. So I truly appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Speaker States.
Representative Hans.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I had a conversation, with him previously just to get to know him as I was, my time of uncle. But something I have to I'm repeating the question for the sake of the public and maybe listening and thinking, but you know, I'm not an appointee. And Mr. Rice, if you would just, describe what is your philosophy for the allocated form of Board of Fish and the perspective that you are bringing to this board in the approach to your decisions?
For
the resources. I appreciate that very much. That this email that the question indicates that our fisheries are managed to the maximum sustainable yield, sustainable data came from there. To the extent that the board itself can contribute to that process, knowing that there's a little effect of loss of animal control, what grade would you give the past board of fish, let's say, in the last 10 years, on fulfilled rail function?
Thank you.
conservative American, but now the staff's concern of the Yukon, of the Copper River, Skagit, wherever you want to go. And I think when it comes to the bluebird fish, the real question is how quickly should we respond to staff's concerns? Now, the revenue is being asked for have drastic impacts on other fisheries. That's not something, in my viewpoint, we can always measure adequately by biology. We can't even measure adequately by economics. Until it takes place, it's a huge part. And I will just say this for the record. There are a lot of things that the water fisheries faces that are a direct reflection of how much work the legislature has to do statutorily. And even in our Constitution, we don't really know how we're supposed to treat those words, like the resources are reserved to the people. Is it individually, collectively? Is it something we do to allocate this with our process? Is that right? And there are a lot of questions to be asked about what the responsibility of the legislature should be. My primary concern in economic terms is making sure, some things Tony alluded to, what kind of opportunity are we providing as West residents in coastal village and town opportunity, and how can the Board of Fisheries decisions impact that, especially in a growing population? I really thought we should stop at that point and thank you for the opportunity to testify here tonight, and I hope you retain some questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hardwick. I appreciate your comments and your many decades of service in so many different roles. Thank you. Let's see if we have any questions. I'm looking down at our representatives. Any questions? Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Hardwick. Your representation and your daughter's representation precedes you. And, you know, what a great testimony that both of you come to. Highly recommend it. What's your many years of experience and deep insight into the many layers of the decisions? How do you feel that your position is going to be able to help guide the Board of Fish in looking at all of these elements?
My track record is a longer tenure than anybody who has a commercial fishing background, and anybody probably who's been appointed to this board for several decades. My role, if I am to make it this far, is not to articulate what is right or wrong or fair. I think my best role as an experienced person is to be able to articulate exactly what the user group peoples, the stakeholders, are asking for, whether they come from subsistence, charter, sport fishing, commercial fishing, residential, non-residential. We have to have people on there that know our areas and what the people that come before us are asking for. And I think I've probably just been answering your question very well. I'm not sure we can do anything better than reflect back to the people that come before us exactly what they're asking for. And it goes back to we are at 100% utilization of our stocks. Anything we do in an auditory nation makes me consider a big call. We have to be sensitive to that, especially in light of what we hope to see for young people entering fishing. As Glenn Hague alluded to, are we going to continue to have a vibrant small boat residential commercial fishery across the state of Alaska?
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate that and ask that because I'm seeing the need for the historical perspective and decisions are being made. Really, I'm going to perhaps steal the thunder of my colleague down the road here, but one of the areas of concern that has been brought to the legislature is that of our inland users and the impacts is those of us in the coastal communities have a close relationship with the Board of Fish, maybe a little bit more than the inland users, especially up in the interior, but they have definitely seen the impacts of these decisions. And what are your thoughts on the solutions that can be had in the conversations regarding being able to allocate fairly the fish for the Yukon?
So you're not talking about our district representative, excuse me, through the chair. You're not talking about outside of the Canadian Peninsula, you're talking about allocation
resources in the Yukon River, if I understand you correctly?
Yes, and beyond the Yukon, but more so, more in the coastal community's perspective, you know, there's inland river users throughout the state who are feeling the impacts of the stream fishery. And the Port of Fish obviously has, you know, direct impact on the relationship, as you mentioned earlier. So what are your thoughts to how there can be solutions in the future?
I think it's possible to do that, but I think we can't have those discussions at the Board of Fisheries level without being cognizant about the Pacific Salmon Treaty and what the country of Canada thinks about what we do on the Yukon River. These arguments that are not arguments, these fights that we have over about whether it's summer times or fall times or the king runs there in the local stock or the months you're going up in Canada, those things are not only to be fought over by Alaskan residents and Yukon River residents, but between countries too. Canada really has very little tolerance for us fighting amongst ourselves about who should get their fish. And it's, it's going to come out more and more. We're probably going to see this in Southeast more and more. And if we have problems with salmon stocks across the states that are related to warming or climate change or whatever, we're going to continue that political stuff. And I know I'm skirting your question again. But in 100% utilization of resources, we're not just talking about fairness, we're talking about winners and losers. And I think that's how we need to be framing this conversation a little bit.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions from committee members? Representative
Hayden. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to confirm that the resume has been blocked out and used to share away from the Bering Sea to the DAC, but are you a resident of Homer? I'm actually with Homer, just
put the name of Homer. People ask me if I'm a girl, I'm not going to say that here.
All right. Okay,
thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'd like more of a statement for all of the people here that are, you know, awful people for the board. My first concern, my first concern is people being able to continue their lifestyle culturally, what's happening around the Yukon, what we're going to do is we're going to be transferring use from one river to another river. So we have people that live on the Yukon that can't fish, that want to come to freezers, get accomplished, but they're going to be coming over to the Copper River. They're going to be coming out of the Yukon. And now what we're doing is we're putting more impact on both rivers just to have food at our freezers. That is my biggest concern right now, and we can talk for years and years and years about this, but we have to start having some action. And again, I don't know if any of us have the right answer, but I just want to make that really clear that is my first priority.
Thank you. And Mr. Herbert, do you have any response or comments on that?
At the risk. Sounding good about this. I fully understand what it means not to have fish. I mean, Yukon is far from the old river that doesn't have fish. We don't know exactly what to do about it, and we certainly don't know what the causes are, but I can point out almost every stream in the state of Alaska that the vagaries of Mother Nature have tremendously horrible impacts. But to go back and say that the Board of Fish should do something to mitigate the problem in one area by lighting a fire in another area doesn't strike me as a constructive way to approach the problems all the time. We cannot get out of what Mother Nature does sometimes. And I feel for it, but we still have to have answers that reflect our balanced approach. But it doesn't mean we're not sensitive to it, but I'm also very keenly aware that taking broad brushes to our problems is not going to be a good solution in terms of the past.
Okay. Any other questions or comments at this time? Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Redback. If you could join stay with us, we'll go ahead and go to public testimony now. And we have some folks at the Cordova Avenue and then Arthur and not a huge list, so
share your testimony. Any questions for our testifier? Okay, seeing none, we'll go back to Ruth Spann and Cordova.
Hi there, Ruth Spann from Cordova. I'm a new member of the Area E Downtown State, as well as the Pacific Business Sport Fisherman. From the time I started to work with Wicked in 2014, all the fishermen have been telling me how important it is to get involved with organizations that keep our lasting communities and fisheries strong. Rob Carpenter is a role model for young fishermen like me. From the golf course that operates the Melbourne Sport Fishing and Gear Shop, things work with the Butterfly Committee, and then role on the Fishhawk Board and the Complimentary and Pipeline Staff Data Harvest Task Force. Rob has been excited at learning to spend all the lasting fishermen throughout his career. I hope the committee can support his appointment to the State Board of Fisheries. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Vaughn, and apologies for mispronouncing your name. Any questions for the testifier? Okay, seeing none, we will go next to Jason Welch, County Fisherman of Alaska.
Good evening. My chair of the Fisherman Center, thank you for the opportunity to talk about the Fisherman's Trees Welch of Columbia State and also the United Fisherman of Alaska. This is the first time Carpenter has handled the appointment to the Alaska Fisherman. Tom Carpenter is up to the local level with different kinds of experience, state and local level, as well as the regional levels. The team is asked to participate in the Southwest Regional Advisory Council for the state panels of participants and the local organization and some fishing and advisory committee. Some of the women in the Alaska Department of Fishing and Fish Services in Arizona in 2020 part of the policy to connect with diverse senior groups and the departure of life. The United States is the chairman of the Board of Directors of Pipeline and Southwest Aquaculture Corporation. Mr. Carpenter is also a licensed physician for some special fishermen and an avid sportsman. In this year, working with the Hawaii Division, which along with his reputation of a fishery professional throughout the state, speaks to the role and qualifications to serve as a member of the Board of Fisheries. Lynn Harper, in the last 5 years of her journey, has participated in the veteran service state dating back to the 60s. Lynn Fisheries career means that she pursued funding for family special duty in the Alaska Peninsula and Maine Act. She's previously worked in legislature as fisheries and some speaker roles, an academic fisheries association, state veterinary advisory board, and the Northern Edge Bridge to the field in the Pacific Fisheries. Management Council. The chairman of this council is also an incredible and a co-founder of the Urban City Council, partner of the Community Advisory Board. He's an experienced and participant in a variety of work positions, and is a major in the application of issues around the state and serves as the Board of Fisheries. He will also be a full-time company and make a vote to the Board of Fisheries. Thank you once again for having me at the Board
of Fisheries. Thank you as well. We appreciate your testimony. Any questions for our testifier? Okay, seeing none. I appreciate that you join us at our stand with us, but you feel free to turn your camera off if we don't want to have to be as engaged in the community hearing as we're doing a public testimony. Next, we'll go to Cordova, back to Mike Nicholson.
Williams, please state your name and affiliation for the record, and you have 2 minutes to testify. Appreciate the testimony. Any questions from testifying? Okay, just for folks that are and folks online, there are five people left because they're doing things that we're up to. Okay, next we'll go to Paul Shadera. Thank you. appreciate your time. Next is David Allison, the Maryland City of Port Doha. Mr. Allison, welcome.
Thank you, Dan, and committee members. My name is David Allison.
Thank you. Thank you.